Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because there is a revival that will bring them to Christ. Because he said, after 2 days, Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, he said he will revive them again. The 2 days is a 2,000 years period that the gospel is with Christ, I mean with the Gentiles, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rapture strikes after the 2 days, and then the third day, the gospel is with Israel. Praise the Lord. And they receive their revival. We see it in Zechariah chapter 4. We see that in Zechariah chapter 12. We see that in Zechariah chapter 13 about the revival of Israel. Praise the Lord. And this revival, hallelujah, praise the Lord, is spearheaded by the two prophets in Revelation chapter 11. Amen. And through their revival, hallelujah, 144,000 Jews, 12 from every tribe, they are sealed. The sealing there is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see why they sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And the Bible in Revelation chapter 14, if you read it from verse 1 to 5, it referred to them, the 144,000, as the first fruit. They are the first fruit of that revival. From the message of the two prophets. And the two prophets, according to Revelation chapter 11, by the description there, they are Moses and Elijah anointing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that Elijah there is the Elijah that was prophesied in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I send you the Jews, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. To do what? To restore. Lest I come and smash the earth with a curse. It's to turn the heart of the fathers to the faith of the children. And Matthew 11, Christ told us that was John the Baptist. And then Elijah will come again to turn the heart of the children of the apostles back to the faith of the apostolic fathers. Lest it will happen before they will come and smite the earth with a curse. He's speaking of the revival of Israel. Now you say, where does the Elijah for the Gentile come in? And I say that, watch it very well. The ministry of Elijah is a ministry of restoration. And you don't talk of restoration until there is a fall away. And Christ cannot come in this confusion that Christianity is. There must be a ministry that will wake up the sleeping virgins again to trim their lamps, to get themselves ready. Therefore, I believe that that scripture, both Revelation chapter 10 verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has revealed to his servant the prophet. I believe that that scripture also has dual fulfillment for Israel and for the Gentile church. Because that prophecy in Revelation 10:7 is actually first and foremost is speaking about the seven trumpet angels. That is, thank you for that grammar. You know, he speaks English better than me. That is the primary application. That's what Pastor Francis is saying. That is the primary application. Then there is the secondary application for the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Can I tell you something? Nobody taught me this. That's why I am saying it with all sense of responsibility and ready to be challenged. And I've been preaching, nobody so far has been able to challenge me. Because you are coming with a quote of William Branham, I will counter you with a quote from the Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because by the time the seventh trumpet angel sounds, hallelujah, the next thing you see is the Antichrist and everything is over, ready for the vice, the judgments now to sound. The mystery of God should be finished as he has revealed to his servants, the prophets. That scripture. But we also know that there are seven star messengers. And in the days of the seventh one, because there is no eighth angel, no eighth church age. Therefore, when that star messenger for the seventh church age will begin to sound, the mystery. And what is the mystery? The mystery is in verse 24 of Romans chapter 11. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And nobody taught me this, but he granted me this understanding of what the mystery is. And I have taught it here several times. How that the Gentiles are grafted into the vine, contrary to nature, and yet we are to produce the same fruit, contrary to nature, of the vine that we are grafted in. That is the mystery. That's the mystery. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If anybody tells you that William Branham has given all the mysteries, he is wrong. William Branham did not give all the mysteries. In fact, there is no mystery William Branham has brought. It only says the mystery of God should be finished in the days when that voice will be sounding. So what he is sounding, he is not sounding mystery. It is sounding part of the general mystery of redemption. He is not the one sounding the mystery. It is the mystery that has produced his bride of Christ in all these ages that will be rounding up. Tell me one mystery William Branham has brought forth, and I will tell you who preached it before William Branham. Including the serpent seed doctrine. It's not William Branham that brought it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Including the seal book. Seal 1, seal 2, seal 3, seal 4. If you people are following my teaching, some of you should be attacking me by now. Because I once told you that nobody knew about it until William Branham came. I said so. So you people are not listening to me. I preached that several times in all my past messages. You hear me say that. You hear me tell you the story of the cloud. You hear me tell the story of the pillar of fire. But I say it again. I have the books of people who preached these mysteries before William Branham. And William Branham quoted from them. I didn't say I had. I said I have it. You want to see? Come to me. I will show you. What is the message, therefore? The message is the message of restoration. And he uses the Elijah anointing to wake a group of people up. Come back to the Bible, because we have deviated. Christianity has deviated. And God raised up a man with one message. Anything you hear William Branham say and does not bring you to the Bible, you have not heard him right. What is this man saying? I am saying something. I am not babbling. And I'm speaking confidently. Confidently because I know where I stand. I need no other argument. I need no other.
It is enough that you.
Something. When I want to stand and talk, I'll talk confidently. And confidence should be placed on nothing else but the word of God. Praise the Lord. 144,000, the first fruit of the restoration, the ministry of restoration. That is when the rapture has taken place and God is turning to Israel for their own revival. And the first people that will receive Christ at the 144,000, they receive the Holy Ghost. They bear the mark. Can we read in Revelation chapter 14? And I looked, and lo, a lamb, verse 1, stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers happy with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which we are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb. Where's where it going? These we are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Then let's go a little further. Those in Revelation chapter 7, let's go there. I believe the question that is sent to me now, I hope this will answer it. Chapter 7, from verse 9. Revelation. Hallelujah. It says, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white ropes and palms in their hands. Praise the Lord. Go to verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? This is the answer, verse 14. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the lamp which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living waters, the fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So who are they? They are they which came out of great tribulation. Now there is great tribulation, and there is the great tribulation. Praise the Lord. Great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are those that were killed under the white horse rider. When that same Antichrist spirit changed from a white horse to a red horse in Revelation chapter 6, as the seals were opening, and all that we are killed for the sake of the gospel in the whole grace period. If you read the Fox's book of Matthias, they give account, historic account of how believers, Christians, we are martyred, killed. They are the overcomers of every age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. They are the overcomers of every age. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, at the end of every message to every church, you will hear, "He that overcometh," and the promise is there. These are the group of people that are there in white robes. Take note, they are in white robes. Listen very well, because some of us who are just repeating what some people were saying, we try to give a different description, but please, let this description now make it clearer. Take note, they are robed in white. Robed in white. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are the overcomers of every age. For every age of overcomers, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. And the Bible says, and they love not their lives unto the death. They are those that sacrifice themselves. They allow themselves to die for their faith. They stood, and you can imagine, this is, you know, very interesting if you can catch this. They said they are overcomers. Hey, can I say something? He said they are overcomers, and yet they overcome. The end of their overcoming is that they died. So, and somebody, and you don't know, I have told you this thing before. If somebody can just catch this now, that every problem a true believer is going through, whether a witchcraft attack, sicknesses, frustration, you can't get work, you cannot marry early, any frustration you have, what it is gunning at is your faith. And it is in that estate you will see suggestions coming in. Why not just do this? Why not just do this? He said, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, their lifestyle, and they love not their lives unto the death. I'm quoting verse 11 of Revelation chapter 12. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And yet they are called overcomers. They are called overcomers, but they died. Because the impression given to us is that if finally, you know, you died in frustration, that means your God is not real. Do you understand? Why the world is saying your God is not real? See. God is preparing a white robe to clothe you with. You are an overcomer. Because you were ready to die rather than compromise. They are the overcomers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so the true overcomers, they don't have a testimony to give here. They are the true overcomers. Which testimony will you give? Everyone that was responsible for my not getting work, all of them died after Naivichi. Amen. Our testimony is, praise the Lord, whatever I go through, what shall separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? What will separate me? Death, peril, what? Hunger, what? What? He named them. Apostle Paul named them in Revelation chapter, Matthew chapter, Romans chapter 8. Named them one by one. He said, name in all this. He said, we are more than conquerors. When he said more than conquerors, do you understand what he means? That is, the thing you are to conquer is to conquer the spirit of compromise in the midst of adversities. I refuse to bow. Yes, frustrate me. I will not bow. And God steps aside. When you think he has forsaken you, he is with a tailor designing your white robe. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so, you will notice that in Revelation chapter 19, please allow me to finish this few minutes. Revelation chapter 19, there's another mistake we normally make that, let me clarify it. Revelation chapter 19, even me, you have heard me make this statement from verse 7. Can we read it? Revelation chapter 19. In fact, let me read it from verse 1 to get the picture very, very clear. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he has judged the great hall. And where is the great hall judged? It is when Christ is coming for the millennium with the bride, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. That is the Catholic Church. And has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. She killed 68 million Christians according to history. And she is finally destroyed at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the scripture. Verse 3. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, is saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Then we come to verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now listen. You have heard me say the bride has made herself ready. But he didn't say bride here. Is somebody understanding me? What did he say? He said wife. There is a difference between bride and wife. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is the bride that you see robed in white in Revelation chapter 7, multitude. What you see there, you are seeing them there. It is the marriage feast that is going on, and that is the period that the bridegroom comes with his wife dressed in white. That is the estate. In Revelation chapter 7, The multitude you see there, praise the Lord, they are the bride. But by the time you see from verse 1, everything is over. The hall has been judged. Everything cleansed. Now, she has changed from a bride to a wife. Therefore, the clothing will change. Am I saying something? Tradok. The cloth will change because she is no more bride. She is now wife. Let me read on now. Let us be glad, verse 7 again, and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. These are the true sayings of God. What do we see here? You can read on up to verse 16 or so. If I read the whole chapter, but my emphasis is something I want to bring out here. Praise the Lord. First and foremost, she is now a wife. That is in Revelation chapter 19. By the time you get to chapter 20, they are now seated on thrones. And a wife does not sit, a queen does not sit with a wedding gown in her throne in the palace. She wears wedding gown when she's been taken to become a queen. The dress will change when she will now sit in majesty. That's why she's given a royal apparel, and this time the texture of the texture of the quality of the dress she's wearing is described. And it is a color of royalty. It is not just a white robe. It is now fine linen. And that is a color, a texture, a quality of royalty. She's now robed in royalty because she's coming out to occupy throne and rule. You don't catch this, then continue your confusion. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And this group, they are made up of, as I said earlier, those witness of Jesus, the three groups in Revelation chapter 20 verse 4, the witness of Jesus, all the martyrs of all ages in Revelation chapter 7 from verse 9 to 17, and those that were beheaded for the word of God under Hitler in the fifth seal of Revelation chapter 6 verse 9 to 11, and those that did not take the mark of the beast. Now these ones, they are those that overcame the Antichrist during the tribulation, 3.5 years period of tribulation, and they are only Jews. Seen in Revelation chapter 15, verse 2 to 3, the sea of glass, which also include the 144,000 and all the Jews that did not bow despite the trouble they were going through. They also rule and reign with Christ. They are the rulers of this earth, together with the bride of all ages, for 1,000 years, together with Christ Jesus. Now, I know that Romans chapter 11, verse 26, 27, 28, tells us that Israel, all Israel shall be saved. Let me make you understand that again. All Israel shall be saved. What do they mean by all Israel shall be saved? How and when? All Israel that survived the tribulation, all Israel that survived, that did not, that survived the tribulation period, the day of the Lord. I have preached the sermon that I titled the day of the Lord, the judgment that is coming shortly, 7 years after the rapture has taken place, according to the divine agenda. The earth will reel like a pendulum. By the time he finished, he will also rearrange the earth. And while this is going on, praise the Lord, Apostle Paul is telling us all Israel will be saved. Nothing will happen to them. The Israel that will be available will be alive at that time. Praise the Lord. Because they have now reconciled with their God. They have now accepted Christ Jesus. Therefore, the judgment that will be coming upon this earth will not affect them. And remember that they are hidden in Revelation chapter 12, verse 6. A place is prepared for them in the wilderness during the tribulation period so that the Antichrist will not meet with them. Praise the Lord. Will not deal with them. Will not kill them during the tribulation period. Praise the Lord. And that is exactly what is typed by the story of Rahab in Joshua chapter 2 and Joshua chapter 6. They're about to take over the city of Jericho. Joshua sent 2 spies to go and spy the land. Rahab is a type of the Gentile nations. Amen. You know the story. A prostitute saw people. He knew that if these people here, the rulers and the people here, get to know that they are Jews, they will kill them. She planned and hid them. Oh, glory be to God. We know the story. Hid them. And there was a covenant mate. Praise the Lord. There was a covenant mate. One scarlet hair tie. A thread of red color. Just show, put it on your window like a flag. If you don't put, if you put it, everybody in your house will be saved. But if you don't put it, your blood be upon you. We have told you what to do. Kai. If it's you, what will you do when you see the trouble has come? I will be watching and watching. Make sure priest doesn't blow it away. Tie it. Hold it. When the battle is going on fiercely, I will not only use stick, I will hold it with my hand and be waving it. Other people, instead of running, they are getting ready to fight. Me, I will not be fighting. I will be waving my protection, my covenant. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, oh, I will pass, I will pass over you. One verse in that song says, judgment is coming, all will be dead, each one receiving, just me is you. Hide in the saving, sin cleansing blood. Hey! And I will pass over you.
Over you.
Oh, Rahab!
Oh,
see the blood.
Pass over you.
Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in His word, He has shown us the way. Here in our midst, He's standing today.
Tenderly saying,
tenderly saying,
He comes. joyful, joyful will the meeting be. When from sin our heart are pure and clean, oh, all we shall gather, Savior we need. Oh, in our entire home,
when Jesus comes to reward his servant, when I deny all of them. Yes. Will he find you waiting?
Waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come. Oh, will you say you are ready, brother, ready for the soul? Right, oh, be still watching, waiting, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come.
Rahab, sit down. Rahab, Rahab, sit down. Rahab, it became a covenant. It was speaking of the blood of Jesus Christ. It was speaking of a covenant with the God of Israel. Hallelujah. In Matthew, what is he speaking of? In Matthew 25, the parable of the judgment of nations. I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me food. I was in prison, you visited me. I was sick, you visited me. I was naked, you clothed me. And they will ask him, hallelujah, when? Now ask your neighbor, when? Hallelujah. Where did we see you? It is the parable of the tribulation that the Jews will go through. A wilderness was provided for them, Revelation 12 verse 6, so that they will go and hide. And people are looking at the desert. Which desert will they go and hide that aeroplanes cannot go there? It is a prophetic language for people to decode and understand through other scriptures. He said, as much as you've done it to the least of these my brethren, he said, you have done it for me. Look at the last verse in Matthew 25. See what it spoke there. Matthew 25. Hallelujah. The last group is verse 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And this shall go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous, who are these righteous? They will go into life eternal. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. Let me read it again from verse 31 up to verse 34. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats when the Lord will be coming. That is during the day of the Lord. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of the Father, inherit, that is the verse I'm looking for, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Which kingdom? It's the millennium. What made them entitle them there? The only thing that entitled them to be in the millennium is that the Jews, during their persecution period, they were hiding them. And anybody, any nation, anybody that took upon themselves to hide these Jews from the persecution, God, before the foundation of the world, saw that you will do it. And he has decided that no matter what he will do, you will not die. You will be among those that will enter the millennium to repopulate the earth. But not to sit on the throne. You are not sitting on the throne and ruling. You are the ones that we are coming to rule. But you enter the kingdom for just that action. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So all Israel will be saved. That is what he means by that. They are allowed to repopulate the earth and to be ruled by the saints on throne. They are not receiving eternal life. They don't have eternal life. Oh, eternal life comes only by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Including all those Jews. They are not with eternal life. Oh, but under the covenant they have, all of them will be saved from the destruction that is coming, so that they can have the privilege of repopulating the earth in the millennium. Those that will rule, they are those that were beheaded, those that were killed for standing for the gospel. Praise the Lord. Take note, from Israel also, amen, comes part of the bride or the elect that started. You know, salvation was first for the Jews. So the whole of the 120,000, 120 in the upper room disciples, they were all Jews. They received the Holy Ghost. And all, even under this grace, I have met one or two of them that have received Christ. There are Jews today that are getting saved. They are receiving Christ. Now, when we talk about the first resurrection, you have to understand it as I conclude. The first resurrection, which we see in that Revelation chapter 20, is mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. This is the way he put it. Verse 4 and verse 5. Verse 4 and verse 5. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither her image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years we have finished. This is the first resurrection. And the first resurrection consists of three stages. The first one are those saints that resurrected with Jesus Christ in Matthew 27, verse 52 to 53. These are all the saints from Abel up to the thief on the cross. They resurrected that day when Christ took them to that realm known as paradise. And that is where all the bride are there now waiting and receiving their marriage wedding feast going on there. Praise the Lord. Number two, the other group that will soon join now, all the saints, that is, the Bible called them Christ's. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 23 say Christ at his coming. And remember, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of his. That means all those who receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost at his coming, as also seen in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and verse 17. They are the multitude that you see in Revelation chapter 7 from verse 13 to 14. The multitude we have made reference to several times today. And the third group are those two prophets in Revelation chapter 11, verse 11 and verse 12, because they die, and after 3 days the spirit of life enters them, and the voice says, come hither, and then they are raptured, and the whole world see them going. That is the first resurrection. From Adam to the end of this first resurrection, where those two prophets resurrect, if you don't resurrect, you have no more chance. Because he says, the rest of the dead, in verse 5, Revelation 20, he said, they live not again till the 1,000 years were finished. The next time they will resurrect is at the white throne judgment, In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and read up to verse 15. And this time they are not resurrecting for anything, they are resurrecting for judgment, so that they will know the reason why they are to enter the lake of fire. Anybody that doesn't go in the rapture now, among the Gentiles, the next opportunity, and they are dead, and they don't go in the rapture, resurrection money, they don't rise, they are still in the grave, there is no hope for them. You go straight to the lake of fire at the second resurrection, known as the second death. The first death is the one that they are in now. They will resurrect for the second death. At this time, it will be lake of fire. And know that they are enjoying now. Every unbeliever that dies, you are in hell. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is different from lake of fire. Sometimes you hear even me make me say hell fire. There is nothing like hell fire in the Bible. It's either hell or lake of fire. Hell is the place of torment, waiting for the real one. How can I know this and joke with my eternal destination? Everyone that dies now, you are going to hell straight. Place of torment. No peace. Every unbeliever, if you die without the Holy Ghost, those of them who die with the Holy Ghost, there's another portion there known as paradise, where they sit down there and they sing hallelujah for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. They are given testimony of what you overcome, of what you overcome. He said, well, we've been there 10,000 years. We are just rejoicing and rejoicing and rejoicing, while those who thought you didn't know what you were doing, and they were enjoying themselves here like the rich man and the Lazarus and Abraham parable in Luke chapter 16. You were enjoying, you say you had your own portion, you were enjoying here, but this one did not, you know, despite his poverty condition, he still remained faithful with God. See where he is now. You cannot cross. See? That is why the apostle said, knowing the terror of God, knowing what is ahead, he said, we persuade men. That's why we are preaching. You think we are just, we like to look awkward, that's why we are dressing like this? No. There's something. He said, Abraham looked for a city. His vision. There is something God showed him in a revelation that he determined he will go. And he could not see anything around him that was what he saw. So he lived like a pilgrim and a stranger. And they confess that they are pilgrims and strangers, because they know where God said he's going. He has looked around. There's nothing like that here. And they that make such confession, they reflect it with the life they live. Therefore, Abraham lived in tents, ready to move at any time. Apostle Paul said, eye has not seen. Neither is put to the ear or heart of man what God has prepared for those that love his appearing. How many people love his appearing? How many people? Naturally, everybody wants to be there. The spirit is willing. But the problem is the flesh. That's the problem. That's why your first enemy is not your witch uncle. It's your flesh. He said, therefore, mortify this body. Damn it. If you really want to be in that city. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so the last scripture I want to read, Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. For all the virgins, listen. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? despite that, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine in chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. It is not only hearing, but you must be a doer also. And the rain descended. That is the difficulty we face for our faith. And the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. But what happened? It fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Why? Because you are hearing and doing the sayings of Jesus Christ. And the foolish ones now, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine in chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Luke chapter 13. Verse 24. Verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive, strive, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, we seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunken in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Praise the Lord. That is why Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5, he said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Don't assume salvation. Don't assume. Ensure your salvation. Make your calling. He said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. How? You have to ask yourself, have I received the Holy Spirit since I believe? Since I believe, have I evidence that I have received the Holy Ghost? And when he said, enter through the straight gate and not the wide gate, he's trying to tell you there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death, is destruction. The wide one, many enter there. The straight one, few find it. But that is the one that leadeth to life. The wide one leads to destruction. That's why I say, with all you're getting, get wisdom. That is why the last scriptures in Revelation chapter 22, after all this end, after all this revelation has been given, verse 17, he says, the spirit and the bride is calling it bride. I was wondering, why did he call it bride in Revelation chapter 22? Say, come. Because that is the message of the bride now. Come out of error. The bride of Jesus Christ, the marriage is going on now. And we have only one message. It's what the Spirit is saying that we are saying. And that is the message of the hour. The bride, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Christ himself said, come to me. Don't go to church. Come to Christ. All ye that labor and heavy laden, that we give you. There's something he gives you when you come to him. He gives you rest.